Gate. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here in front of the Lord, the members of Victory Baptist Church and the Kirsch family. We welcome you to Victory Baptist Church. Thank you. We're glad Aunt Petunia's with us tonight. Amen. I hope y'all are more cheerful than this on the way down here. Amen and amen. In John chapter 28, the Gospel of John, we're going to begin reading down at verse 12. The Bible says this in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. He said, These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Jesus Christ, in the perfect will of God, and I mentioned this last night, that if you're in the perfect will of God, you're there. No bomb can destroy you. No knife can take your life. And no shot can put you out. But it says, verse 21, Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I think we need to take up an offering night for our dear brother, Darrell Waltrip. Amen. What a great missionary, what a great man of God. You wouldn't go tell him, so God sent Darrell Waltrip. Amen. And if it'll help you out any, I used to watch racing at one time, and that was my favorite driver. Amen. When I watched racing, he was driving a Tide car. He'd outrun you on the out tide and on the in tide. Didn't matter which one. That's been in 19-something. I watched a race the other day, and they had a camera in every car and little digital things all over the place. I thought, man, back when I watched racing, they had one camera, and they'd have to pick out of a hat who got to run that camera that week. Unbelievable. Now they got bumper cameras. I notice it says here that Jesus says in verse 25, Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And don't you notice verse 27? They understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Outside of the Holy Spirit of God giving you something from the Lord, you'll never understand why Jesus is God's only begotten Son. It's a spiritual truth. And it says in verse 28, he says, Then said Jesus unto them, don't you circle this word, when? When you have lifted up the Son of Man, they're coming to the place where they're going to crucify him, and he came to suffer, bleed, and die for our sins. And he said, when that happens, when you've lifted me up, watch this. Circle this next word here. He said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, circle this, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I want to preach to you not on them two words, when and then. When and then. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you use our time together. Help us, God, to follow after you and do great and mighty things and see great things in this service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the choir. What a great job. What some great songs, Lord, about our coming days ahead, Lord. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. God, if there be anybody lost in this service, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict them, draw them to Christ, they may be saved. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll move and help us right now. Do a work in our hearts and lives. Help me as I preach. Anoint me from on high. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me preach what thus saith the Lord is without fear, favor, or compromise. And Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. We want to examine what Jesus literally has to say here in John chapter 8, verse 28. It's conditional. When something happens, then something else is going to happen. They kept asking him, who are you? Who is your father? Where do you come from? When and then. When and then. He says in verse 28, he said, then Jesus said, and then when you've lifted up the Son of Man, he said, then shall you know that I am he. And watch this. We see his work. He said, I do nothing of myself. If we study the Bible, we're going to find out something, that Jesus Christ existed from eternity past. Right. That there's one God, and that's that one God is manifest in three distinct persons, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, right. And the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, without batting an eye, he's equaled himself to God twice in what we read. He's God manifest in the flesh, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And he said there's great controversy about that. When he's writing that, he said that he was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. But I noticed this. He said, I do nothing of myself. Right. I noticed that Christ, whenever before he did anything, he depended upon prayer. There come a time when he had to pick 12 men to follow him. And the Bible says, listen, though he knew who them 12 were, though he knew they weren't calling him, he still spent all night in prayer. I puzzled over that thing for a long time wondering, well, if the Lord knows, why'd he pray all night for it? Well, that prayer all night that recorded in this book was something that was not to help him, but to help us. Listen, before we make any major decision or anything, it probably wouldn't hurt us to spend all night in prayer about it instead of these flippant, Lord, now you follow me prayers. We spend all night saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And agonize and wait on the thing in prayer and wait for the Lord to show us and clearly show us what to do and give us the right thing at the right time. Jesus Christ depended upon prayer. Secondly, about his prayer life, he not only depended upon prayer, he depended on power outside of himself. Every time he did a miracle, he always asked the Lord to do it. And then, listen to this, the strangest thing, he never did it. He asked for prayer for power to do it. And he already had the power. If you wonder about that, that'll simply tell you this. Listen to this. He knew, but yet he did that for an example to you and I. So before we ever did anything, we'd pray and ask God to do something and then wait on him to do it and wait on the power of God to be upon it. Therefore, we wouldn't be doing things in our own strength and manipulating and conning and things like that. We'd have God's favor on the thing and God's power on the thing. But he also depended upon a purpose. I noticed throughout the Gospel of John and the Gospels, before Christ was crucified, he kept bringing up, he is going to Jerusalem to be crucified. When you've lifted me up. He kept bringing it up because he had a purpose in his life. His purpose in his life was to please his Father. He had the perfect will of God. He headed towards the cross, and there was nothing going to deter him from that perfect will of God. You and I, we sit around and we say, well, we'd like to know the will of God. If you'll take your Bible and look up the word will and find out every time God says, I will, you'll find out every time he says, I will, he will. And if you look up the will of God in the Bible, you'll find out in that phrase that the will of God shows us the will of God. And it's over and over. And if we get on that thing and we plug into that and we get the purpose of God going in our life, we'll find out like Christ lived with a purpose. We too can live with a purpose. It's not just existing from day to day and paycheck to paycheck and wondering how we're going to do this. We'll go through life headed towards somewhere and headed towards somebody. Listen to this. I know that we see his work, but we also see in verse 28, it says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But he said, but as my Father hath taught me. He's referring literally to personal learning. And listen, you and I need to be about that same thing. If Jesus Christ is referring to personal learning, he set aside knowing everything as God in the flesh and sat there and took in stuff for 30 years before he ever got up and said a word in a synagogue. Many days spent at the carpenter shop. Many days sawing and sanding on things and getting things ready and building things for people and things like that. But what'd he do? He waited on personal learning before he ever went out. He said, as my Father hath taught me. Would to God we'd get up and quote our Father instead of quoting books about what our Father said. I think it's about high time that we tell all these preachers, listen, quit quoting the Greek and start quoting the English. Listen, don't be wasting your time in a dead language. Hey, listen, preach to us in our language. Amen, friend. Amen. It's high time we had somebody tell us what God said instead of what they think about what God said. He said, very, very plainly, but as my Father hath taught me. He's referring to personal learning. But when you have a father, and everybody in here's got one, by the way, you have traits about your father that come from you through paternal learning. Your DNA makes you just do certain things. Boy, that's scary. What are you laughing at, lady? I'm not talking to Red's wife, brother. I'm talking to yours. Why are you? You're as red as this microphone. Stop that. But listen to this. There are certain paternal lit things about your father you took on. I've never met some of your fathers. But you're just like him. You are. You say, I'm not like him. Yeah, you are. I look at Crystal, I see all of Billy's bad habits. They're your mother's? What did you say? Never mind. I've never met Aunt Petunia's daddy, but I'm sure she's just like him. Some of you never met my wife's daddy. She's just like him. Thank you. But listen to this. Jesus is just like his father. Right. So how do you know that? Listen to this. He's born of a virgin. God gave Mary the child. He had his father's DNA. He is as much God as he was man. I give my keys away tonight to somebody. I hope you still got them, whoever you are. But I noticed years ago, Brother Rennie Kent, there they are. Brother Rennie Campbell would have his hand in his pocket the whole time jingling his keys back and forth. And I sat beside Miss Ellen Campbell one time in church service. She said, I wish he'd quit that, but his daddy did that. It still drives me crazy. You do things your daddy does. He done things his daddy does. There's just some of his learning just came right through the bloodline there. And when you get born again, there'll be some things just come right through that bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll have of your father. And he also referred, but as my father hath taught me, he talked about patterned living. And we think about patterned living. There are some things that your daddy done that you watched and learned. And it was learned behavior. I hope it was all good that you took out from it. I noticed that sometimes people take the learned behavior they get of people in their house they grow up with. And they take that patterned living, that learned behavior, and they always pick out the worst qualities. Why do you do that? Don't do that. God made you an original. Don't die a copy. Be yourself. Unless you're a jerk, then be somebody else. Listen, there's some of them things you can get rid of. But there's some of them things you need to watch your parents. They may do and do right. You need to follow after them. I've heard teenagers tell me, oh, you don't know how my old man or old lady is. You don't know how it is to live in that house. They boss me. They tell me what to do. They do this. They do that. And my only question back is something like this. Who pays the bills? Amen. Whoever that is, they get to boss. They get to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Fair enough. You say, I believe like that, preacher. Can I come live with you? I'll do everything you say just about. If you're going to pay the bills, I'll be in at 10 o'clock every night. Cut the grass every once in a while. I mean, listen, if you're going to pay the bills, I'm in. Amen. It's easy enough. Amen. But listen to this. I see a lot of folks come in, And we see his works and his wisdom, and then they got this pattern living where they learned the behavior of somebody else. Would to God you'd look at your parents and quit finding their faults and start finding their good things and start mimicking those things.
Amen.
You say, well, you know how many faults my parents have. Don't worry, you'll have every one of them and your child appointed out to you.
Come on.
Amen. Amen, friend. You know I'm telling it right. I see a lot of people come along in life, and especially when they get about 15, 16, 18, around in there, in the early 20s, they think they know everything. You know what you need to do? Get a job, get an apartment uptown while you still know it all and can do it all. Quit living in your mama's basement, get you a job. You say, I can't find one. Get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and go looking. You'll find something.
Right,
listen. You want me to tell you how to find a job? There's at least 3 people a week comes by my house saying, have you got any yard work I can do? Any. It's tempting to get them to do the same thing the last guy did. Just to see if they'll do it.
Amen.
But all you folks think can't seem to find one, they out there.
Right.
Every time I walk in a restaurant, I see the 2 words, help wanted.
Right.
You say, oh, that's beneath me. Really? Where are you working at now? It's real simple. Get a job and pay your bills.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, I can't afford the things I want if I get a job there. Hey, maybe you need to come down here with us for a while.
Well, yeah. Right.
Amen, friend. Amen. I had somebody tell me one time, I was trying to counsel with them and help them. They said, well, my kind of lifestyle don't fit that kind of pay scale. I said, what are you making now? They said, nothing. I said, and you're trying to say you that would be less than that? How do you figure, buddy? I mean, I know some of you rode up Rolls Royces tonight, but do you know after years of seeing those on TV, I finally saw one? It was in a museum. It was Elvis's. And I thought to myself when I saw that car and how it's put together and all the nice things about it, I thought, I bet he didn't pay it off as quick as we did that Honda out there. Everybody's got car payments. They're just all different amounts. I read where Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, had a car payment. And I looked up online years later. I thought, I wonder what a payment is on a Lamborghini. You know, you're probably paying that same amount he paid every month for your whole house. My goodness. Hey, pick up your parents' good habits. Hey, if you're going to go after something, go after what they do good. Listen to this one. He said in John chapter 8, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, that's his works, but as my Father hath taught me, that's his wisdom, he said, I speak these things. I notice he said, I speak these things, he's referring to the Word of God. And we see his words, and we find out that when we look at his words, he gave a condition of when and then. Can he be trusted? Did the when happen? Did the then happen? Now watch this. If that much is true, we ought to see what else he said. Maybe he's got some other things that help us out. Listen, the Lord tonight wants attention on his words. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I notice we see he wants his attention on his words. Listen, when I was coming along and the ministry first coming along, they kept saying to me, what books are you reading? And I never did know the answer to that question. I know who to say because depending on his round, they'd chastise you if you read one thing. Other crowds would know that guy's a liberal and that and other. So I learned something early on. If I'd stay in Moses' set of books and learn what they said, and then stay over there in David's set of books and learn what he said, and go over there and get in John's set of books and see what he said, and get over there in Paul's set of books and see what he said, I'd find out what God said and had them pin it down on paper, and then I'd have a pretty good set of books for my library.
Amen.
This bunch, it says, now what books are you reading? They're wanting you to read a certain set of books so you become like them. We don't need to become like them. We need to become like him. And if we're going to become like him, we need to read his bestseller and start taking in the Word of God and seeing what God said. I'm not against study tools, but that's all they got, and that's all you get, and you need to get rid of them things and get back to the Bible. Amen. Listen, we need to do what the Lord said and focus attention on His words and study His words and see what God's got to say about something. And whatever God's got to say about it, that'll probably be a pretty good place to start and finish. Because listen, God's word is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Somebody asked over at that church this week, said, why do we have a Bible conference? Amen, to get you in the Bible. That's why we have a Bible conference. Why do we have a missions conference? To get in there and find out what the Bible says about missions. Why do we have a revival meeting? So we can find out what God says about revival and get revived. Amen. I like the book, what it says about all them subjects. I know when we get into Jesus saying, I speak these things. Listen, I'd rather find out what the Lord said throughout this book than what any of the competitors had to say. You know why? Because all of them went out of print and God's Word still stayed around. And listen, one of the most amazing things about the Bible I find is this. Though people have been burned at stake for trying to copy it, they've had their ashes dug up and burned again for just standing for the Word of God. They've been executed, persecuted, and everything under the sun that can be done. Yet that book's still in print even to this day. We've even moved into the modern age. I went online the other day and found a PDF copy of the King James Bible and clicked and downloaded it. And I thought to myself, there's got to be something to that, because now it's even reproducing even more and more and more and more and more. Every time you go get one of those Bible study programs off the internet, and if you want the free version like Brother Kirsch likes. I told him, honey, listen, look up here. I told him it's $2.99 for what he said. I told Brandy, he said it, and she said, I know. Some of us have paternal things passed down because somebody else. I never knew till I taught him in Bible college, they're just alike. Y'all know this. I'm not telling y'all nothing y'all don't know. That cost what? You learned that at the house. Learned it through your DNA, didn't you? But I look through and I see when we get them free downloads of them Bible programs, you know what we find out? They'll give you a free Bible with it. Guess which one it is? It's the Word of God. Amen. They give that one to you. They give it to you. It's free of charge. Now, if you want the rest of them, you got to pay. Do it for me. See? Isn't that something? Hey, God wants you to know what these things are. Amen. He wants you to study those things. He not only wants you to pay attention to His words, but He wants you to have transformation through His words. Listen, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, God says over there, He's not wanting us to be informed. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if we're going to get transformation out of this book, we got to get it in here and in here. For a born-again believer, we got to study this book, memorize verses that will help us in daily life. You say, where could I start? I don't know any subject's probably good. But in our day and age, probably the best subject would be on anger. Probably the best subject would be on politics. You know, there's things about politics in the Bible. Amen. Listen to this one. You tell that fox Herod, I said. That's a quote from the Bible. Ain't that something? Would have been something Walter quoted that to him. His supporter might have doubled it. Amen. But I see this. I see that He wants us to be transformed. When we find out things about the Word of God, it's not so we can go to the job next day. See, I told you! It don't work like that. People like that, listen. Hey, you do more harm than good to the Word of God. You do more harm than good to the cause of Christ. We're not to share our knowledge, we're to share the gospel. I notice that some people come along sometimes where you work at, and I've heard people tell this, they won't know where Cain got his wife. Well, why do they want to know? They already married. That's crazy, ain't it? But if you go to this book, you can find it out. That's how I read it and can't understand it. They're missing the author here. They can't understand it. But I tell you what you can do. You can get born again, and God will start giving you everything you need out of it. Before I got saved, I thought it's fairy tale literature and all that. Listen, Christ moved inside when I got saved, and all of a sudden I understand some things. Right. Not all things. But what I need, the Master gives. Right. I caught something the other day. I was reading where they get these definitions for some of these dictionaries out of the Bible. And I was reading where Jesus was telling his crowd, he said, men love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi in the marketplace. And he says, there is one Rabbi, even your master. The word Rabbi means master. Wonder where they got the definition for that at? Right there in the text. And over there in the second or first Samuel, Saul's over there, and he went to go see the seer, and it says at that time a prophet was known as a seer. So if you look up the word seer, most dictionaries say it's a prophet in a Bible dictionary. Where'd they get the definition? From the Bible. And a lot of things you can take with the context of it and get it and understand it and let it transform your life. Don't get up every morning reading your Bible for information. Get up and read it for transformation. Jesus called this book bread. And listen, we need to take that thing in, because our daily food that we take in, we don't take it in because we want to be informed of how good the chicken tastes. Amen. We want the chicken to get inside and do a work. We want that chicken to attack that hunger and put that hunger to waste and lay it down for a while, and that we can have energy and strength to go on and do the things that we have to do. And that's what God's word's for us as well. It's for transformation. But Lord also has in the thing, he says, you know, I speak these things, and I saw something in that, and I see that the phrase speak thee, they're those two little words, occurs seven times in the New Testament. The Lord also wants us to have declaration of his words. And that little phrase occurring seven times in the New Testament, you find in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, you find the centurion. He's over there. He's got a servant and he's healed. He comes up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want my servant to be healed. Jesus said, where's he at? He said, I'll go to him. He said, no. He said, if you'll just speak the word, he'll be healed. Jesus commended that guy and said, I've not found so great a faith. We find over in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when they got on them guys for preaching, they said, boys, you got to quit that preaching. You got to quit that. You're upsetting everybody. And the Bible says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says that Paul's over there chastising those Corinthians. He said, I want you to speak the same thing. Amen, friend. He wants them all on the same page. Do you know, I thought about this a while ago, that if we had a football team at this church, if we had a football team, I get to be the coach, I'm too old to play. But I would have to give every one of my team members and my teammates the same playbook. You ever seen them quarterbacks go out there and they got a big old wristband on and they keep doing this, looking, it's got something on it? That thing's got about 40 or 50 numbers with a name out beside them. Quarterback's helmet's got a little green dot on it in the NFL now. You know what that means? That means there's a microphone or a receiver in that thing, and they'll just tell him. You'll say that coach over, and he'll be holding up his thing. He'll be talking. He's talking to that quarterback. He'll tell him, run play 34. You look up there and see 34 is a run, toss, trap, right. He goes in the playbook, run, toss, trap, right on two, break, and they go out there. Well, I wonder if a wide receiver out there got a different playbook. He's playing for Dallas, but he's got the Seattle playbook. Wonder what 34 is going to be for him. The ball's going to snap. These two linemen's going to go into pass protection. These two's going to go into run blocking, and the whole thing's going to be a mess, and the quarterback's going to be on his head wondering what happened. You ever wonder why we get so messed up? Everybody's got a different playbook. We need to get on the same playbook. Speak the same things. And I noticed that as we get on down the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God, he says, in a mystery. There's some things you'll never find out this side of the grave, but there's some things God calls a mystery. He'll reveal to his people that he won't tell the outside world about. It's not complicated things. Not very complicated, but God will show you some things. I notice in Philippians chapter 1, he said, speak the word without fear. Would to God every preacher in America, as God called, he'd get up every morning on Sunday morning, open up that book, speak the word without fear. And if Deacon Smellfungus didn't like it, if Sister Windbag didn't like it, or whoever else, they'd preach and preach and preach and preach. And listen, you'd be surprised. Some of them people actually get right with God, because God does that through the foolishness of preaching. Listen, I'm glad for old leather lung preachers I grew up on. They didn't invite you to Jesus. They told you was going to hell without him. Listen, they didn't come up and say, I want to share the love of Christ. You know, they shared the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ right out of the Word of God. And some of you sitting in them old-time preachers, that thing stayed with you so long that when you got under conviction, you could about hear their voice telling you, you need to get right with God. You need to get saved. I'm glad, thank God, for them old-time preachers. They wasn't up there saying, well, I see our time has passed and we've got to close. It's been 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you what America needs more than 10-minute sermonettes. We're dying from them right now. I notice we get to the Word of God. He said we speak the mystery. But I'm glad for 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, where he says we speak the truth in Christ. Our whole basis for this book, everything we do is in Christ Jesus. Amen. How do you interpret the Bible? In Christ Jesus. Jesus in every book of the Bible. Jesus in every chapter of the Bible. And we take that thing, we run it by Calvary, and we find out where we need to be in life. That's God's when and then. When he went to the cross, what happened? They knew. When he went to the cross, now you know. When and then. Hey, I've heard people say, well, it's a historical fact that Jesus was crucified. True it is. But it's also the greatest truth I've ever heard in my life. That God had sent his only begotten Son to die for sinners like you and I. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking.